الفاميلي جات سندرو del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Welcome back. We've got a couple of financial heavyweights in the studio here today. Mike Ingram, who's a strategist at BGC Partners, on the basis you're a heavyweight strategist.
I just wanted to gurgle.
Another strategist, Mark Ostwald from ADM Investor Services. How are you today, Mark?
Good.
Right, we're in the run-up to the Fed.
Yep.
I suppose there aren't too many high expectations of what they might do today. Very little chance of them actually doing anything.
No, there's certainly no expectation of anything being done today, and they would have wanted to prepare markets if they had been really thinking about it. However, the meeting is interesting from the aspect that if you look at the run of economic data that we've had of late, there is nothing that the Fed can hide behind anymore, really, unless it really wants to say we're going to overcook everything. To justify not moving on the basis of the domestic economy. Eminently, the Fed has this big problem that it has been vacillating for so long between expressing optimism about the domestic economy and then suddenly basically putting its feet straight on the rate hike brake when it refers to international developments, be they geopolitical, be they economic, be it Brexit, all of those things. Primarily because what it appears to be worried about is the performance of asset prices, particularly equities. But I think it's more the fact that the dollar is still the world's funding currency. And the US banks are perhaps even more so than before, very vulnerable to any negative feedback loops from the international communities, be that the Eurozone, be that China, Asia, Latin America. But there comes a point in time when you have to actually recognize what the US economy is doing. And you know, there's a number of Fed speakers of late, notably, one would say, is they've pointed out two things. One, they're not particularly happy with the idea of the Fed constantly putting the brake on rate hikes for financial stability reasons, i.e. the point I just referenced. And two, they're also not particularly concerned about Brexit. I mean, they've all practically, to a man, said impact of the of Brexit on the US economy, little or probably nothing. The question for today basically is they will have to acknowledge the strength of the economy. They will have to open the door to a move in September. There's no doubt about that. The question is how they open the door. Because what they don't really want to do is end up in the situation which they've kept on ending up in over the past 12 months, reference last September is the first really bad one, where they start talking up the chances and then suddenly something happens, and we know August is always a very bad month for equity markets, or generally a bad month for equity markets. And then have to slam the brakes on again. So I would guess the hint at a September move will be couched in very, very cautious language.
So, wouldn't it be better they just got on with it and did it today?
Oh, absolutely. They're about 100. I'd say they're about 100 basis points behind where they should be, given what the U.S. economy is doing at the moment.
The U.S. economy is, you know, you're saying it was overcooked. I mean, this is like a burnt barbecue now, isn't it?
Well, certainly, if you look at the
it's charcoal. The
Citi Economic Surprise Index, it's basically just gone vertical. We are miles better levels than we were this time last year.
And the US has been helped by, there's clearly been a flight to safety into the stock market, US assets, everything US has been, with the problems in Europe and anarchy in Europe, which we're heading towards. So all that is just, the US has been a beneficiary, total beneficiary of all that. And
it also benefits from the fact that it's not a very export-dependent economy. Only 11% of GDP is down to exports. So,
do you trust a central bank or a central banker? I mean, let's say Janet Yellen clearly doesn't understand the relationship between the U.S. economy and these factors, citing things like Brexit, and the Chinese economy and all these things that, which have got nothing, clearly now have nothing to do with the US. It shows that it's just it's not with it.
Well, I think what it shows primarily is they keep on running scared of their own shadow. And in essence, I suppose what it boils down to is a lesson of the 2007-08 period about which they were enormously complacent, as were all the other central banks around the globe, has burnt them very heavily. But it's now sort of like they've had this massive electric shock from that experience, and it's swung them the other way, where they were so complacent before, now they're far too cautious. There's not a shadow of a doubt about that. And actually, if you put it in the context of the income deficit that we've got at the moment and the bubbles that are being blown, above all in credit and bonds, but you know, it looks like equities as well, but that's more a function of the fact that you can't generate any income in either government bonds, and you don't get very much actually in terms of risk-reward skew, out of credit, even high yield credit. And it would help if they actually just inched rates up a bit to actually basically take some of the steam out of that bubble.
Just I remember that you brought in a couple of slides, so we may be wise to look at that.
Yes, that is the Citi Economic Surprise Index, and that really emphasises that last part, just how vertical it's gone. You know, we're at the best levels we've seen since the end of 2014. Really quite remarkable. So, I mean, that's very, very compelling. I think on the next table, we've just got basically the probability scale of, yes. So, yeah, we're talking about a 10% chance today, but it's not really realistic. We've only inched up. So immediately post-Brexit, we were at zero for September, for a probability of a September rate hike. We're now at 28%. To me, that seems to be still very low. We're really only fully starting to really acknowledge the chance of one which the Fed would be comfortable with in June 2017.
And just to be clear, is this type of chart worth, is it worth the paper it's printed on?
Well, it's important in terms of the Fed historically has never liked hiking rates if markets are really unprepared for it. So what they'll be hoping with their statement today is to bump that 28% which we've got for September up quite substantially, and certainly the one for December. They would want to see that, you know, December getting close to, I would imagine, 70, 75, and they would much rather see September, if they are going to have the window to open, somewhere around at least 50. And, you know, obviously we can see how things evolve over August with more incoming data.
Right, finally, one of the reasons I failed my interview at Oxford was because I laughed at the Japanese economy in the late 80s, and it didn't go down well with the Don there, who was suggesting I was pretending that I knew more than they did. So 28 years or nearly 30 years later, I'm still laughing. Today I'm laughing at the 28 trillion yen of stimulus, which is supposed to be on tap there. I just think it's not enough. It should be one, what was the next quadrillion?
A gazillion bazillion.
Yes, exactly. It's just not enough.
I think that my main concern with this is we're not getting much in the way of details. It actually only involves 13 trillion of fiscal spending, so I'm wondering what the other 15 trillion is about. Secondly, when you start looking at some of the details which have been proposed, that they're not confirmed, about the 13 trillion, about 6 to 7 trillion of that is reallocation, so it's not new fiscal spending. So you then start winding this back, and so we're down to about a 5 trillion package, which in the greater scheme of things is not huge. And it really depends on where it's going to be spent. Also, it doesn't address the fundamental issue in Japan, which is demographics, which will only be solved if they change the policy on immigration. And that is about as likely to happen as me winning the lottery.
So the Zachmeier curse on the deflationary curse is going to continue for another few years?
It's more than likely, simply from unless they have a massive devaluation of the yen because people become concerned about the fiscal deficit. But for the time being, Japanese savings in the private sector and the corporate sector are so enormous that people look at it and say, well, they can fund it because they've got the offsetting savings. But over time, those savings are gradually getting whittled away. And the tipping point is generally seemed to be somewhere around 2018, 2019. And then things start to get really, really bad, particularly if you see the acceleration in the contraction in the population that we've seen, which has last year actually was much faster than people were anticipating.
Right, on that note, Mark Ospel, strategist at ADM Investor Services, thank you very much for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.
Saving money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.